The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani. Good morning, welcome in, and live from Studio 5, it's Wake Up in the Den, no Kuule Ogbayani today. It's Paul Brecht, joined by Michael Lascaro on the ones and twos today. When the boss is away, the boys shall play. Gonna be a fun one today. Michael, how you doing this morning as our Kuule Ogbayani off in Henderson, Nevada, getting ready for the Rainbow Wahine and Rainbow Warriors basketball games later today. How are you, my friend? How was your drive in this morning as we get ready for a full day of sports?
It was a really great drive. I don't think there's any slowdowns I saw out there on the road. But yeah, shout out to all the beautiful people still tuning in, listening to us. And I did not expect we would have Dr. Seuss in the studio this morning, Paul.
Something about me as a Knicks fan, I get used to Walt Clyde Frazier. I'm going to toss out a few rhymes here and there, even to the dismay of some people, I am sure. Nonetheless, plenty to discuss with you beautiful people today, so we'll dive kind of right into the action here as Hawaii men's basketball held up their end of the bargain and granted Ku's wish of seeing at least a single game for both the Rainbow Warriors and Rainbow Wahine in Nevada. As, shout out once again to Ku, who did make it safely to the Ninth Island last night, joining up with the rest of our Hawaii basketball ohana that was leading the way yesterday as the men, the third team in the Big West Conference, took down 7th-seeded CSUN 75-68 to advance to the conference semifinals for the second time in 3 seasons. And before Michael and I give you our thoughts on it and kind of break down everything that we saw and look ahead to today's semifinal matchup against UC Davis, let's hear first from head coach Iran Gannat and seniors Justin McCoy and Bernardo da Silva following yesterday's win over the Matadors.
Oh, it's a great win. I thought that was kind of a microcosm of a year, that game. We've dealt with adversity all year. We dealt with adversity in the game. You know, Harry had a great first half and went out. He stepped up. We have to step up for him. And, you know, the whole, I know it's cliche, the next man, every man, has been really powerful for us in these last 13 games. Hopefully we keep it going. And different guys stepping up. And credit them. I mean, we knew it was going to be a tough game. We have a lot of respect for Northridge, their staff, their head coach has done an awesome job. And they can come back quick. You know, even I've asked, I think at halftime, about how to defend the paint with them. It's easier said than done because they can really put the pressure on you in transition. They get on the offensive boards, they get to the line, and they can score off turnovers. We did a good job overall taking care of the ball, but we had some adversity through the game with, and we hung in there. And when they made their run, we tried to limit it and stayed poised. And that's a credit to our group, our seniors. I thought we had our best defense late.
Questions in the room?
If it's for Bernardo and Justin, first of all, Bernardo, you played the last, four or five minutes with four fouls, but yet we were able to defend the post. And also, you, Justin, it looked like you had a tough cover, you know, trying to guard Deshaun. What was that like for both of you?
I feel like I just picked up a few silly fouls early, and that kind of, it's kind of hard to play when you have like four fouls, but I feel like I just try my best to just stay disciplined. Like the coaches kept on telling me to stay disciplined and just try to be vertical as much as I could. And that's what I was like trying to do, like when I knew I had a lot of fouls. So I was just trying to be vertical and be more disciplined.
Yeah, I would say Allen Eikens is a great player. He's shown it in every game, you know, he averages a lot of points and helped that team a lot, and they're a good team. But like I said, I think we let him get rolling with some easy ones early. And part of that is just, you know, all of us playing harder, me knowing how to defend the scout. But I think he had 22 with about 12 left to go, and then he didn't have any more. And that was just a testament of, like, coaches lighting a fire in me, telling me, can you guard him? Can you handle this assignment? And I said, yeah. And my teammates helped me out, and we were able to get him covered.
Coach Gabriel Doherty, Daily Sundial. You guys lost the first matchup to the Matadors and the season finale for CSUN. You ended up sneaking by with a 2-point victory. Coach, talk about what it was like. What did you have to learn from that first matchup and you applied to the following matchups?
You heard me say it over the years, like you grow from pain and experiences, good or bad, can help you if you use it right. So, you know, we were in a tight game with them at their place. We had a lead early. They came back. All the games were kind of like that. You know, we had a double-digit lead at our place, and they came, cut it to two, had a chance to win it. Like I said, that's a credit to them. I think the big thing with each game has been, you know, our transition defense was better. Our turnovers were down. And then, obviously, it's funny for me to say that, and then they hit back-to-back layups with, like, 3 minutes, 2 minutes to go. That's how potent they can be. But I think overall we've evolved over the course of the year. Our player movement, ball movement has been considerably better. We defended the three again tonight. We did a good job. You know, they're really potent on the offensive board. So I just think those experiences have built, like losing close games early, winning close games late, losing overtime games, winning overtimes late. Sometimes you got to go through and sometimes you got to grow from pain. But this group stayed together through all that.
Wes Nakama, Warrior Insider. Looked like Harry took a hard fall, came up a little groggy. What can you say about the specifics of his injury and his status for tomorrow?
Well, first I want to say how incredible he's been. You know, he's been battling this whole year, and he had probably one of his better weeks last week, and he played it into today. He had his incredible first half under the circumstances. And, you know, we were smart about it. We'll get more information. I don't have any information now, but we'll get it and provide it and kind of go from there. It was good to be able to get it done without him and step up for him while he, you know, we figure out his situation.
This is for Justin. When you look at getting a bye, obviously you want it, but when you start the game and you got to kind of get yourself out of the mud, see someone a little run in the beginning, how big was that? Because you guys have been off for a little bit to prove to yourselves that, okay, we can go through phases like that and get through it.
Yeah, I think it's just a testament of our growth as a team. I thought early on in the year when we were struggling, teams went on runs and we didn't respond and stop the bleeding early enough. And I think that now we're at that point where we're so mature and we're so late in the year that we know, cut the bleeding, go on our own run and respond. And I thought we've been doing a great job of that as of late. And I thought we did it today. Like I said, Harry was great off the bench for us. He gave us a huge lift. Bernardo's been great all year. Like you said, four fouls, and he was able to stay in the game and just defend. I think defense was huge for us, especially in the paint.
So I know you guys did a great job on Deshaun in the last, actually, 15 minutes. He had 18 in the first 25 and only four the rest of the way. But like you said, Coach, you got Bostic, you got Jones, and they were scoring in transition, you know, incredible shot making. I know you had to call timeout at one point. So what was the challenge there as far as doing a good job on Akins, but then you got to worry about Bostic and Jones?
That's where it's hard. I mean, I think over the years we've done a good job point of attack, and with some teams that have multiple points of attack, it's more difficult. And so mixing it up a little bit, you saw us zone a little bit, challenging guys. I mean, I think the biggest thing was a credit to Justin. Two things that stood out in the game. You know, he got going early. He's a hell of a player. Sometimes I'll say something like, can you guard him just to see the response? And not surprisingly, he's always wanted to guard those guys. So that's a testament to him. Even early in the game, we missed some good looks. We were talking about not overreacting to missing good looks. That can happen to teams. You miss a good look and you start to panic. Just continue to play right, continue to get good shots and go from there.
Coach, and this is for all three of you, whoever wants to jump in. I thought McClanahan and Beedy both played really big roles for you guys in terms of doing a lot of the little things. And, you know, I know Beedy got the start today. If any of the three of you can chime in. Obviously, Coach, I know you've been with Jovan for, I think, going on 4 years now.
Yep. You guys want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, Jovan and and Tom are great players, and we know how important they are for us. And I feel like Javon was really good tonight. He had 7 assists and only 1 turnover, and I feel like he's able to, you know, kind of control the game for us and kind of like change the pace at times. I feel like tonight he was great for us, and he's just, you know, like he's a hard worker, and I feel like he showed today. And as far as Tom, I mean, we'd be saying like he don't play like a freshman, and he just goes out there and, you know, make plays and puts himself out there. So I feel like those two guys are really important for us, and we are aware of that. So, thank you.
Sir. I would like to say that Javon just Javon was amazing for us. I thought he had a lot of timely buckets as well. I mean, you talk about 7 assists, one turnover, but I mean, I remember a couple of those layups were timely ones where I'm like, we need a bucket, and he was able to get down there and get a good shot for us. And then like B said, Tom's a phenomenal player. Doesn't play like a freshman. He's huge. He's going to be great for us moving forward.
I think Tom's fearless. You know, he's had a lot of international competition as a youngster, and he's been playing in big games during his freshman career, which will really help him. He's got a bright future. And these guys like Javon, I know you asked me about Javon. It's great when you can, your whole culture is about old guys, your older guys show the way, and the younger guys become the older guys, and they do the same and pay it forward. And, you know, Javon's been with us for 4 years, and Noel, 4 years. You know, what a luxury it is when Javon or Juan can be, you know, limited or foul trouble or hurt, and you can go with either or both. And Javon missed 4 or 5 games, and, you know, working his way back to find the rhythm. It's not easy for anybody, especially late in the year, but he's done a hell of a job with it.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you always talk about you get to earn your shots. Did Juan earn the right to shoot 24-footers today?
If you've been around Juan shooting, he's earned. We might give him a 27-footer. Is that? No, he's a clutch player. He honestly, the deep shot doesn't faze him. I'm sure he'd like some of those back. But I think one of the other things is to be a great shooter, you got to have a combination of work, which he does, technique, which he has, and confidence. And he's got all three. So you want to make sure he doesn't lose his confidence.
Coach, this is for you, but then if the guys can answer as well. You always talk about these games, these high-pressure games are a privilege. You got to earn them. And so how much does embracing that help you guys in this tournament when tomorrow's not promised?
Well, we talked about going in, like, and earlier in this press conference, battle-tested. You know, we've been in so many close games now with this group and overtime games, and we played in a neutral tournament. We play in the Diamond Head. We're used to quick turnarounds. So you want the mentality to be able to use that confidence. So, you know, I think the reward for winning big games is playing in bigger games. And I'll also say that because of the situation we put ourselves in early, it's been somewhat of a blessing in disguise. Believe me, I don't want to start off 2-6 every year, but we've had to play what seems like 13 championship games after that to get us, put us in position. And so our guys have been through a lot just this year.
So, yeah, you guys have talked about embracing the challenge. You got another big one tomorrow. I know, you know, Pepper and T.Y. had a huge game against you guys a couple of weeks ago. Do you look forward to that challenge and get another shot at those guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. I thought their senior night, I thought I started out the game kind of sloppy. We got off to a rough start and spotted them about eight or 10 points or something like that. We're a way better team than that now. Like Coach said, we've improved in the last week since playing CSUN when we played them again today. And we've improved so much since we've played Davis at their place. And so we're going to embrace the challenge. We know they have two really good players that scored a lot of points. I think they're all conference players. And so, I mean, that's and player of the year. So we're going to accept the challenge, and we're fearless.
I mean, I feel like games like there are like what we dream about. We're playing two, you know, great players. Not only the two great players, but a great team. And I feel like, kind of like Justin said, we started off poorly against them at their home court. And I feel like, you know, it's an opportunity for us to show how much we've gotten better since we played them. And, you know, like, we're just really excited. It's a big game. Like, you know, it's win or go home for the both teams. And, yeah, we just can't wait to play them. And so I feel like it's going to be a really fun game.
Coach Kaz, we appreciate your time. Thanks a lot. Congratulations.
Sure, that's all right. No, I just want to, any opportunity I can, thank our fans, thank our band, thank our cheerleaders, thank our administration. You know, we're obviously going back and forth, flying a long way. So it's really nice when you can leave home and feel like you're at home and see familiar faces and people going out of the way to support us. I also want to thank, you know, this is, you know, we've been here several years, and as on behalf of our program, our players, their families, everybody, how often people have talked about, us included, how first class an event this is. Great venue, first class, and that's what this conference deserves, so we appreciate that.
And that was Hawaii men's basketball head coach Iran Ganot. Forwards Justin McCoy and Bernardo Da Silva following yesterday's 75-68 win over CSUN, Paul Brecht, Michael Lascaro, getting ready to break down everything that we saw yesterday when we come back. You're listening to Wake Up in the Den on 95.1 FM, AM 760, and Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Paul Brecht and Michael Lascaro filling in for everyone's favorite sunshine gal, Kukule Ogbayani. She's out in Henderson, Nevada for the Big West Tournament as both Hawaii men and women play today. Be sure to give us a follow on social media at High Sports Radio. That's HI Sports Radio. Or check out some of the cool on-the-ground stuff from Ku's new sports account at Kukule Ogbayani, just her name spelled out, both on Twitter and her new Instagram account as she brings the behind the scenes of this fun sports world that we take part in. Suppose you can also give Michael or I a follow for live coverage of the games as well. 9 a.m. Hawaii time, the Rainbow Wahine taking on UC Davis in a semifinal of their own. But we were just chit-chatting about the men, how they won yesterday, 75-68, heard from head coach Iran Gannat alongside with Justin McCoy and Bernardo Da Silva. Following yesterday's 7-point victory, just the second win in the past, 6 years, I believe, for Hawaii men's basketball. A fun, fun game that didn't necessarily start out that way, Michael, where the Bows looked like the team that had played the overtime game the night before, not necessarily the Matadors, as CSUN made 4 of the first 5 baskets, went up 8-2. Hawaii just 1 of 8 from the field and a pair of turnovers in the opening 5 minutes. Not exactly the start that I think Hawaii was looking for.
Yeah, and I know I kind of stepped away from the screen just to see if that's going to change the what's going on, but not a good start, but, you know, credit the Bows for coming back and, you know, just working as a team. I think that's probably the biggest thing that's going to determine whether or not they win the Big West this year is if they can play defense and if they can play as a team. You know, if I'm not mistaken, the bench outscored the starters in the first half of the 4 of them, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, credit those players. We just got to hope that everybody stays healthy and nobody gets into serious foul trouble.
Yeah, it was an interesting game at the very start. Like I mentioned, a slow offensive jump for Hawaii as everybody trying to find some sort of rhythm after receiving that first round bye. Obviously, the third seed in the tournament receiving single byes, whereas the top 2 seeds, UC Irvine and UC Davis, receiving double byes, hence why you now see the Bows taking on the Aggies later tonight. That's 5:30 p.m. Hawaii time. And, Michael, after that first start to the game, the 1 for 8, it was Noel Coleman knocking down a triple from the right side, and all of a sudden it seemed like Hawaii realized who they were once again. They start to rattle off points. Harry Ruliadef comes off the bench and provides a spark alongside McCoy, starting to find his offensive game as well. Both of them rattle off 5 consecutive points each. Tie the game at 20 with about 8 minutes remaining in the first half. And that's setting up a brand new ball game for Hawaii. And from there, it looked like the Rainbow Warriors were going to start to take over. They take the lead as Javon McClanahan comes off the bench. You heard Justin McCoy talk a little bit about how he might not have scored, he being McClanahan, have scored as much as we've gotten used to seeing him in years past. But the moments that he did score, it felt like they were large buckets, important buckets. And I would tend to agree with the graduate forward out of North Carolina. And in a lot of ways, it was a lot of, like you said, the bench for the Rainbow Warriors. I mentioned Harry Ruliadef. Javon McClanahan obviously has been coming off the bench since his injury. And then Akira Jacobs, after Ruliadef goes down a few minutes later with an injury, comes in and knocks down a 3 as well. So kind of like you said, a lot of the bench guys getting in on the fun in the first half to kind of help buoy and keep the Bows afloat through the opening 20 minutes, and in fact sent them into the halftime locker room chat with a 6-point lead, 36-30.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about Jovan McClanahan, and I think, you know, him coming off the bench, I think he's able to kind of watch the game and see how the flow of the game is going, and he's able to pick his spots and as well as be a better facilitator, because while he's in the starting lineup, you know, he's the one kind of, you know, touching the ball the most, and sometimes I feel like he's trying to put a lot on his shoulders. But yeah, I think Ryan Rapp picked up couple fouls early on, and Tom Beattie comes in. I think he's kind of the X factor for them, one of the two freshmen in the rotation. So, you know, let's just hope that they can carry it over. I know Noel Coleman was kind of big early on. He hit a triple to kind of get them back in. He also scored the first basket of the game. But later on in the game, he was kind of a little bit cold. So I'm hoping that he can kind of turn around later today or later tonight.
To kind of build off of what you're saying with Javon, that's something we've seen with Deja Phillips, who was just named the sixth player of the year in the Big West Conference for the Rainbow Wahine, where she has plenty of talent. She has the ability to come off the bench, but she also has the ability to start. She prefers coming off the pine so that, like you said, can kind of get into the flow of the game, see how the opposing defense is playing, and go from there. And I agree that it certainly helped Javon's passing. He dished out 7 assists last night and looked in full control off the bench 25 minutes as well, providing a nice little different type of guard from Juan Munoz, who was also putting in a nice effort, knocking down 3 triples and all 3 of them coming in that second half, where Hawaii started to give themselves a little bit of breathing room, saw the lead go up to double digits a couple of times before CSUN started to bring it back. Once again, we saw Deshaun Allen Eikens, who a first-team All-Big West selection, had 18 points through about 25 minutes of play, and then all of a sudden the Hawaii defense just locked down against the forward for the Matadors, just 4 points over the final 15 minutes of action for him, and that was a big factor as to why Hawaii was able to maintain that lead. Despite some more scoring droughts throughout that second half, you continued to see the senior leadership step up. You mentioned Coleman before, started out the game well. He did end up finishing in double figures, 1 of 4 Hawaii players to finish in double figures. Justin McCoy, Bernardo da Silva, all 3 of them combining alongside Juan Munoz for the first 17 points of that second half for Hawaii to see that lead go on out. And you mentioned it before, where Tom Beattie also almost plays as an X factor, because with all that experience and with the battle tests that the Bows have faced this year, you feel pretty good about the older guys going into this Big West tournament when it comes down the stretch in crunch time when they need to execute for them to do that. But it's nice when you have guys coming off the bench as true freshmen in Akira Jacobs, in Tom Beattie, who can come in, contribute to winning basketball, and give you not just big-time buckets, but quality defense as well on the other end. And that's going to be important today against a very solid UC Davis squad that boasts the Big West Player of the Year in Elijah Pepper.
Yeah, it was kind of a sneaky defensive performance for the Bows. I think they scored 50 points in the paint, and you're like, wow, well, that's not good defense. But they really hunkered down on the three-point line. I believe CSUN went 3 for 17 from beyond the arc. And that, you know, I kind of said it yesterday, like that's going to be the kind of the determining factor, because if they get hot, you know, I don't know if Hawaii has, you know, the offense to kind of match them, if it's going to be a kind of a shootout. And, you know, we kind of joked before the game that, oh, we're going to take the easy under. But, you know, the over hit in the game.
It did.
But, you know, throughout the second half, it always felt like a 6-point game. You know, Hawaii might go up by 8, or Matadors may have cut the lead down to 4 or 3 points, made it a 1-possession game. But every time I kept looking up on the screen, it's a 6-point game. It's a 6-point game, you know, no matter what. And even I think the final score was they won by 7. So, yeah, the defense, I think that was key last night, and that's going to be key today.
That's a great call out by you, and you're spot on. 3 of 17 from distance yesterday for the Matadors. Noel Coleman and Juan Munoz hitting more from behind the arc by themselves than the entire CSUN team. And it's something that Hawaii has been good at defensively all year, is defending the three-point line. And it's something that honestly has become almost a trademark of Iran Gannat-coached teams, is defending around the arc and limiting three-point chances. I like your call out there of Hawaii may not be able to keep up should you give up a great shooting performance from outside, but that's a big reason why you see them put such an emphasis on the defense around the arc. Going to be important today, like I mentioned, against the Big West Player of the Year and Elijah Pepper, and a really, really quality Aggies team. And I'll ask you for one last key before we head to break for the Bows, should they want to head into the Big West Championship game for the first time in quite a while. Michael, on the offensive end, it's also always important on the three-pointers, but how much can the Bows get into the paint today with their guards, with their bigs, and can they kick out and find open shooters, whether that be a Noel Coleman, whether that be a Juan Munoz, whether that be a Tom Beattie that we've seen improve from behind the arc? I'm curious today about how the offense can continue to complement the defense for Hawaii, because you know that UC Davis is just going to put up points.
Yeah, looking at UC Davis, the two regular season matchups against them, Pepper was the leading scorer for UC Davis, and I believe Bernardo da Silva was the leading scorer in both matchups. So, you know, I think a guy like Justin McCoy really has to deliver today. You know, I like his size and his frame and skill set, because he can operate in that mid-game area, that free throw lane extended. And I think if you give him the ball near that free throw line, that opens up cutting opportunities for the guards, you know, for the wings, because, you know, you don't know if he can shoot it over the defender or if he's going to drive it or post up the defender. So that, you know, you put him in the middle near the free throw line extended, and, you know, the defense is going to pay attention to him, and that opens opportunities for the other players. You know, Bernardo, as long as he can, you know, stay out of foul trouble, you know, I think we should be good there. I'm curious about the health of Harry Ruliadef. You know, he kind of went down kind of hard in that first half, I believe, and I don't think he returned. So he's kind of that five to back up the Silva. I know Akita Jacobs was kind of there in down the stretch, but he's more of a stretch five. You know, I know I think he made his first three after the Silva sat, or after Ruliadef came out. But, you know, we need some toughness. I'm not saying he's not a tough guy, but we need to get some buckets inside, just to force the opposing team's defense to defend us on all levels.
It's a good call out by you as well. Still unsure about the status of sophomore forward Harry Ruliadef, who exited yesterday's game after taking a pretty hard fall towards the end of the opening half of play. Coach Gannat said following the game that he did not have an update quite yet. Still looking for one of those. Hawaii plays tonight at 5:30 p.m. Hawaii time against UC Davis. You mentioned it as well. The teams split the regular season series, both teams winning by double digits at home. The Bows, part of their big-time turnaround after going 2-6 to begin conference play, was that home stretch where they won back-to-back games, tough back-to-back games against UC San Diego, and then an 87-70 victory over UC Davis, goes 9-3 down the stretch of conference play, but one of those three losses, senior night over at UC Davis. So another rubber match for Hawaii today, and going to be a fun one to watch, but got a pretty fun one before that. We'll talk about the Rainbow Wahine matchup when we come back, also facing off against UC Davis, the two teams that have won the past four Big West Conference Tournament Championships. You're listening to Wake Up in the Den on 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Team that knows how to face the lights, the Hawaii Rainbow Wahine looking for their third consecutive Big West Tournament Championship crown. Welcome back on into Wake Up in the Den here on 95.1 FM, AM 760, and streaming on HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Paul Brecht, Michael Lascaro filling on in as Kuʻule Ogbayani's in Vegas for the Big West Conference Championships. In case you missed it, we just had a big conversation about Hawaii's matchup later today on the men's side when they take on number 2 seed UC Davis in the semifinals. But we're switching on over to the women's side of the bracket, where the Rainbow Wahine will also see UC Davis across the way in the semifinals, as the top-seeded team finally will play after earning a double bye for finishing as the conference's top team. The top two teams from the regular season, Hawaii and UC Irvine, in that order, receiving double byes into the conference tournament. And these two teams in Hawaii and UC Davis have been kind of the pinnacle of recent success in the Big West Conference on the women's side, winning the last four conference tournaments, two each, Davis winning back in 2019 and 2021, while the Rainbow Wahine are your back-to-back defending tournament champions. So a lot of championship experience going into this one today, and another team that has the experience of beating the Bows this season, the Rainbow Wahine falling at UC Davis by 10, 61-51, a comeback victory for the Aggies back then, before the Aggies did end up pushing Hawaii to their only overtime game of the regular season, that one at home, where Hawaii pulling it on out. And overall, I can't say that this is a matchup that the Rainbow Wahine probably were hoping for out of anyone, but also, to be totally fair, to be the best, you have to beat the best, and Hawaii has been the best all season long, 17-3 in Big West play, an impressive year for Big West Coach of the Year, Laura Beeman's squad, three all-conference selections in Imani Perez, Lili Wahine Kapu, and of course, sixth player of the year and first team selection, Deja Phillips, and it'll be big for those three to show up today alongside the rest of a really balanced Hawaii team against UC Davis, who's made another run throughout this tournament once again and looking to return to the championship after a brief hiatus.
Yeah, and you talk about that overtime win, you know, their only one in the regular season, and that was kind of a sweaty game, you know, for Hawaii needed that game to kind of, I mean, they won 2 days later on senior night, but you know that game really put that winning streak at home in jeopardy. You mentioned Deja Phillips; she had a really big clutch basket. If it was from three, if I'm not mistaken, in overtime to kind of give the dagger. But you know, this Hawaii squad, they've got talent and they've got the roster and they've got the flexibility and versatility to win another to three-peat. You know, I think, you know, I love their bench too. You know, they have a lot of great guards coming off the bench with, you know, Kelsey Amai, Ashley Toms at times, and you know, Deja Phillips. You know, one thing I think is going to be kind of interesting to see is how does this game start? You know, the Wahine, they've been known as become a second half team, where the first half's a little shaky, you know, a little tough offensively. You know, and then Deja Phillips kind of comes in and you know, is a microwave score. You know, you just put her in there and, you know, the meal's ready to go. And then you also have Lili Wahine Kapu coming in strong, usually in the second half. So I no doubt that those two are going to show out today. I'm just curious to see who's going to be kind of that third player that really kind of gets that win for the Wahine later today.
I think part of what makes them so exciting, though, is that there are so many different options of who could be that third player, whether we talk about Deja Phillips and Lili Wahine Kapu so much, but you're right, we still have a Melanie McBee who, I mean, this season has flown up the all-time ranks for career three-pointers made, and you mentioned Kelsey Imai coming off the bench as a real spark plug a lot of times. Ashley Toms has always been known to up her performance throughout March for the Rainbow Wahine. So it could be literally anybody. And that's just mentioning the guards. We're not even talking about Jackie David or Brooklyn Ruers, who also recently made her return from injury for UH. So a lot of different weapons to put on out there for Coach Laura Beeman and Hawaii today against UC Davis. Going to be important for them to play a consistent 40 minutes of basketball. That's something that Coach Beeman has been harping on all season long. Even in big-time victories, it's been important for her team to try and play all the way through. You saw her very happy following the regular season finale when they put up a season-high 85 points, and that was a big part of because it was a complete game from start to finish, shooting from outside, shooting inside, finishing, free throws, taking care of the basketball. Overall, it was a great way to end the regular season. And with that said, now they've sat and had a double bye. So with that said, I'm curious, Michael, do you think that double bye impacts them in a positive way or a negative way? Because this is a team that's dealt with plenty of injuries all year, could certainly have used time to get their legs back under them and get fully healthy. But at the same time, you're going up against a team that has already found its rhythm and already had to play a couple of games that are do or die. You have to win or go home. So is a double bye a good thing for Hawaii?
I think it's a good thing in the sense that you can kind of watch and scout your opponent. You know, tournaments are, you know, you kind of see it a lot also in women's athletics, is that sometimes the teams are hot, sometimes they're cold, they go through a little slump, and you know, they can kind of game plan and scout their opponent, you know, because these regular season matchups, you know, they're not always the same, you know, recipe or formula moving on. So I think the double bye helps because they know what's working for the team, their opponent currently, as opposed to like reflecting back on the previous matchup, because it's win or go home time, right? There's no next game. The game that you have right now is the game, right? This is the semifinals. Where it might hurt them though is because, you know, to win any tournament or any championship in the postseason, you have to get that first one, and you got a team like UC Davis that's already gotten their first win, so they're used to that they know what it's like to win in the Dollar Loan Center because they won just yesterday. But you know, the Wahine, they've been there, they've done that. They just gotta kind of hit the ground running. They might, you know, kind of like the men's team yesterday where they kind of got into an early deficit, that might happen again like the next half hour because the game starts in 15 minutes. But they just need to kind of, you know, stay the course. Don't panic. And, you know, I think that's probably the key, is that, you know, when you haven't played in a long time, when the other team just played like a day ago, you kind of get out of character. So, but, you know, Coach Beeman and her staff, they know how to settle their team. They know how to coach up their team. They call the timeouts when they need to. And, you know, the Wahine, they just have to adjust. You know, I know Ku was talking about it yesterday, where the depth perception there in the Dollar Loan arena or center, whatever it is, it's different. You know, it's long. And even looking at the men's game yesterday, you know, the lower level seats were kind of open and empty. So, you know, they just got to adjust to that. You know, hopefully Brooklyn Ruers is, you know, at 100% or close to 100%. That way she can be a force down low. You mentioned Jackie David. You know, she's kind of one of those bigger girls too, but she has an underrated outside shot. So that could be key, her off the bench. And, you know, this Hawaii squad, you know, you look at their bench and any of them, you know, at least the first four or five that come off the bench for the Wahine, they can start, you know, on their program. So
I was going to say, on any other team in the Big West, it's impressive.
Yeah, so they just got to, you know, adjust to the situations and go play. They, you know, that's Coach Beeman's, you know, we talked about it on Beeman's Bash, right? She was like, you know, devil and angel on her shoulder. Like, do you want to hit the attendance record, or do you want to win in Henderson, win the championship in Henderson? And she would choose Henderson all day and the Big West championship. So just got to adjust and, you know, react, you know, adjust and react to what's going on the court.
And the quote that you bring up where Beeman talks about, would she rather win on Beeman's Big Bash or win in Henderson? That's exactly what Hawaii has been playing for all year. It's what the entire team has talked about all year. Even after receiving individual awards, the main focus from every single one of the Rainbow Wahine was on trying for this three-peat. Would become the first program since UC Santa Barbara won 9 consecutive Big West titles from 1997 to 2005 to win just 3 consecutive, first team to three-peat since the Gauchos back then. Shout out Jason Kaneshiro and the entire UH Sports Information Department for all the work they do and that fun fact to bring on up to everybody. The game, you mentioned it, Michael, quite literally tips off as soon as we're done here today at 9 a.m. Hawaii time as the first of 2 semifinals for the women today. On the other side of the bracket, it's also number two, UC Irvine taking on the semi-Cinderella in 7-seed Long Beach State. The Beach upsetting number 3 UC Riverside Thursday in overtime, 83-75. Davis, I mentioned it before, one of the 3 teams to hand Hawaii a loss during conference play this season, coming up with an impressive comeback win at Davis, 61-51, before pushing the Rainbow Wahine to overtime back on February 29th. Since that loss at Davis, though, a season-high 7-game win streak for Hawaii, looking to push it to 8 in a row and stay unbeaten inside the Dollar Loan Center. Going to be a really tough task to get today, against a strong UC Davis squad. When we come back, we'll finish up our conversation previewing Hawaii sports for the day as we also take a look over to a different court for men's volleyball action as well. You're listening to Wake Up in the Den with Paul Brecht and Michael Lascaro on 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuulei Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's a dynamite day, Michael. We have 2 Rainbow Warrior games for the men and a Rainbow Wahine game in there as well. Men's basketball, women's basketball, and men's volleyball all in action today for Hawaii. 2 teams in Henderson, Nevada, as Hawaii, the Rainbow Wahine, will get into action right as we close things out here at 9 a.m. Hawaii time, looking to advance to the conference championship for the 3rd consecutive year, taking on UC Davis and the men later today at 5:30 p.m. Hawaii time, taking on, you guessed it, the Aggies of UC Davis, the number 2 seed on the men's side. But over in volleyball, Michael, it's a huge matchup nationally in the Big West. Any way you want to put it, for college men's volleyball, it's a true championship preview type matchup today as Long Beach State, the number 2 team in the country, hosts the number 1 Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii to open up Big West play for UH, and also opens up a new, I'll call it a new era. It feels weird to say it like that, but Hawaii now having to learn about life post Spiros Hakas, who, their floor captain, suffering a season-ending leg injury back in the final set of the final match against UC Irvine in the Outrigger Volleyball Invitational Championship last week. Our thoughts, aloha, and prayers all out to Spiros as he goes through this time recovering, and we hope you're doing really, really well, buddy, or at least as well as you can do. But nonetheless, the season doesn't stop for just an injury to one of the nation's best players. Hakas named the AVCA National Player of the Week after his performance in the Outrigger Invitational, and Hawaii now going into this one on a 16-match win streak, enters the pyramid, which is not an easy place to play, and takes on a Long Beach State team that was picked as the preseason favorite in the Big West Conference, Michael. So I turn my question over to you now, where what do we expect now with the Rainbow Warriors now that they have lost such a key piece in Spiros Hakas?
Yeah, very, very unfortunate to lose Spiros. You know, it's there's going to be some growing pains, you know, today and tomorrow against the number two team in the country. You know, Hawaii is the number one team. And, you know, I'm not endorsing, you know, a loss, you know, but
of course not.
16 game win streak. You know, it's kind of that's impressive in itself. I think you're gonna have to take a loss at some point just to, because that's kind of like pressure on the players, I think. But you know, you I think Kurt said it after they beat GCU, is that you look at the landscape of men's volleyball and there's no undefeateds, and no one team is not gonna beat that one team, you know, or stay undefeated. You know, it's gonna, the players are gonna have to adjust to life without Spiros. I think Louis Sakonoko's probably gonna have most of the bulk of the sets that Spiros was getting. I know Keone Thim is also gonna be in the mix. We really hope that Chaz Galloway can stay healthy and doesn't have anything lingering. But it's gonna be a collective group that's gonna need to step up. One thing that I do wanna, you know, kind of is, you know, it's not, you know, Spiros is Spiros and he's an amazing player and human being, but, you know, he's just one player. You know, this program has been built on, you know, hard work, and as well as, you know, serving well. You know, coach Charlie Wade has a 90% rule, is that if you get, you know, you get your serve in 90% in of the time, you win the game. And when they beat GCU, it was on their defense. They I think they had 5 blocks and 10 digs in that first set. And that really kind of carried them. So, you know, I think for the Rainbow Warriors, they just have to be themselves. You know, don't try to fill the void that is Spiros Hakas, because nobody can fill the void, because Spiros is one of one. But just stay within the system, stay within yourselves, and be the best player that, you know, that they individually can be. And the Bulls will be all right. You know, you know, it might not look pretty in some sets this weekend, but there's still a couple more weeks before we hit the conference tournament. So just you know, just stay patient and support this program. Hawaii the fans have done a really great job about doing that.
Yeah, they really, really have. It's something that Coach Wade has talked about all year. Hawaii men's volleyball actually holds the top 10 most attended men's volleyball matches of the 2024 season. So shout out to all the Rainbow Warrior fans who continue to come out and support and have continued showing their aloha to Spiros in this brutal, brutal time as he tries to recover from this injury. I like the way you put it, though, Michael. Kind of put your positive Paul hat on for a little bit right there, as they don't have a way to replace him with one guy. It's a team effort, and if they are just themselves, this is the number one team in the country for a reason, not just because Spiros Hakas is a phenomenal player, but because there are great players around him to help boost each other up. Going to be important for all of those players to boost each other up today. One last reminder that Hawaii plays twice on the hardwood today in Henderson, Nevada. First tip coming up real quick with a 9 a.m. Hawaii start time for the Rainbow Wahine, while the men look for a return to the conference championship game and an upset over the Big West Player of the Year in Elijah Pepper and UC Davis later tonight at 5:30 p.m. Hawaii time. Mahalo for hanging out with us on this Aloha Friday as we chit-chatted a lot about some basketball. We're excited to watch. We hope you are too. And hopefully on Monday we can be chit-chatting about a championship or two here on Wake Up in the Den. For Michael Lescaro, I'm Paul Brecht. Thanks for listening. Let's go, Bows. And we'll talk to you later. Bye!